weekly business session. We have Commissioner DeYoung and myself here. Commissioner Morgan is out this morning. And we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance like we always do, so please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have kind of a sparse crowd today, but we make up for it with a significantly large agenda. I would say that this might be the largest packet, largest agenda we've had since I've been in office, and it's 704 pages. We've got some administrative items, some really exciting stuff to actually have come to a culmination here at this weekly business session this morning. We'll review the administrative calendar, and before taking action, we'll receive public comment. Each person will be provided 3 minutes. Please just state your name and general locale, not your specific address, for the record. Then after taking public comment, we'll come back and take action on the administrative calendar before moving into the consent calendar and other items that may properly come before the board at this time. With nothing further, we'll start with the administrative calendar item 1A, which is approval of intergovernmental agreement between Jackson County and Josephine County for housing adult prisoners in the Josephine County Jail. And Commissioner DeYoung, as the liaison to the jail, will speak to this issue if you're prepared to do so.
Yeah, this I'm bringing this forward today, for opportunity for us to have a quorum. We, Sheriff Daniels and I, kicked this into motion last week. What it basically amounts to is because of the large music festival over in the Jackson County area, their jail is at maximum. So we've agreed to take, I believe it's 22 inmates over here, low-level inmates over here, on a temporary basis just so we'll free up jail space in the Jackson County jail. They've agreed to pay approximately $4,290 for the 4 days that they will be using our facility. It's also a really good show between the two sheriffs and the two jurisdictions to work together for the betterment of the entire region. So I went ahead and signed it, and we're just bringing it forth today. It's the time we can get together and approve it. So
is this a ratification?
Yes.
Actually, intergovernmental agreements are not able to be made by just a delegate of the board. Most things can be,
okay.
But intergovernmental agreements require a quorum and majority of the board to
okay.
do so.
But
I think we have intent to do it, and we talked about this last week. That we reviewed every administrative item here today at our administrative calendar last week, and so got that done. And we'll move it forward today. Sounds really good. And I think it also starts the conversation about potential future needs. Jails are obviously really expensive. Ours has a capacity of 262 inmates, and we just approved a 5-year levy to assure capacity at 185. So there's still a margin there to maybe Jackson County could take advantage of through a contract agreement. So I think that's really going to be positive for the region. Another regional element, which would be item number 1B, which is approval of resolution 2017-039 in the matter of adopting the Rogue Valley Integrated Community Wildfire Protection Plan, and dated as of this last June when it was finally deemed complete. It starts on page 9. It's about 284 pages long. It took approximately 5 years to develop. This is the second or third iteration of a Community Wildfire Protection Plan. And another example of something that we've been able to successfully come together with Jackson County on and provide for a regional plan. It's the first one in the nation. I started working on this 5 years ago. I think I'm the only policy person to be in continuity since the beginning of it, as the Oregon Department of Forestry representatives have changed and some of the other local structural protection agencies have also changed leadership, as well as some of the federal agencies. We went through two contractors, and we spent Title III funds on developing this plan, which is what those dollars can be allocated towards. What it really does is it provides specific guidance to all of the affected agencies that look at fire protection, fire mitigation measures, and those that have resources within either the residential part of the county or the resource part of the county. and ways to move forward together in a comprehensive fashion to mitigate the fuel loads and challenges that we have with catastrophic wildfire in Southern Oregon. So one of the interesting statistics that the previous fire plan provided is that we have the most complex system of ownership, not just in Western counties, but perhaps all counties within the United States of America. And there are about 3,100 in the country. The complexity of ownership is made more so than anywhere else because of our complexity of the ONC lands being on a checkerboard pattern. We don't have more ONC lands than anyone else, but we have the private forest owners, the ONC lands that are managed by the BLM Forest Service, and then we have 30,000 acres of county land, which really is different than a lot of other counties around the nation. And so trying to put all of those interests together into one bag makes it really complicated and challenging. What your neighbor does or does not do affects the fire potential of both the residents that live in this area and the other land managers. So that's the short version. I encourage people to probably read the executive summary. It's not going to be one of those documents that sits on a shelf for 5 to 10 years and collects dust. We're going to actually look at collectively with Jackson County, trying to hire a staff person to really manage this program to where we're all moving forward. We can remember the Douglas Complex and shutting down the Rogue River for approximately 10 days. $100,000 a day impact just to the local whitewater raft providers. That's not chump change, and we need to be doing everything we can to try to mitigate the health impacts and the local economy from fire. That is just a matter of when, not necessarily if. So that's what's before us with item number B. 1B, any questions? Or?
Oh, I think it's great. One of the things that over the years that I've been here, I know many summers that were cut short and not very, where Southern Oregon is not really attractive because it was blanketed and smoked for just weeks on end. And if we can stop that before it ever gets started, that's just going to be helpful. Really helpful. Necessary.
I think one statistic that kind of makes this a real relevant issue. So we have the largest contiguous piece of ONC land, that federal designation from 1937, in all 18 Western Oregon counties. ONC lands are only in Oregon, in those 18 counties. What's really interesting is the statistic of the surveys that were done in 1937 said we had 50 billion board feet on that landscape at that time, which is almost hard to imagine how much wood that is. Since that time, we've harvested 50 billion board feet off of that landscape, and today we have 73 billion board feet in recent surveys. So you can just see the fuel loading is not the forest that it was coming up on 80 years ago. On August 18th will be 80 years of the ONC Act. In 80 years they added 23 billion board feet even after they harvested 50. So those fuel loads continue to grow on all of those forests around there, and that's a contributing factor to the extreme catastrophic wildfires that we're having today that we didn't necessarily have 80, 100 years ago. So just a statistic to reinforce that. Pardon me. Anything else? We'll go on to item number 1C, which is approval of order number 2017-036 in the matter of hosting marijuana-themed events on county property, and we have Councilor Hicks here to present for this one.
Councilor Hicks, legal counsel. The county had been presented with a series of applications going back some months before this policy was initially kind of brought forth that involved marijuana-themed events that the county had reasonably involved in the possession, delivery, and manufacture of marijuana on county property. The department's most referenced or impacted here tended to be fairgrounds, parks, and facilities maintenance, what is now known as the facilities maintenance department. And of course, citizens can file formal applications to use county property and subject to a standard approval process that would not be necessarily changed here except in the way it is described very specifically within the order. Going back to around April this year, the county, the commissioners decided that they would clarify their position and rather than handle these on case-by-case basis with department heads constantly seeking guidance from the liaisons and the higher level management of the county. The board verbally that it would not be hosting marijuana fees on county property. What we see here today is the written codification, if you will, of that policy, an attempt to provide clarity both within the government and outside the government with an intent to protect the county from any potential liability that events in which possession use, delivery, or manufacture of marijuana would be directly involved. So the real heart of it is to conclude, here the real heart of the policy is captured principally in the second to last paragraph, which states that it is hereby ordered that applications to use county property to host events at which persons may use, deliver, or manufacture marijuana shall be denied, and that applications for use of county property must include a statement that such possession, use, delivery, or manufacture shall not be permitted.
So this has been an ongoing issue actually for years, not just months. Ever since the approval of Measure 91 by a majority of Oregon's voters, but not Josephine County specifically, it didn't pass by two votes in 2014. The real issue is, for me, is the personal endorsing the personal consumption on county property. And I actually, I don't know that we've spoken about this as a board as deliberated as long as I think I'd like for that. I'm not suggesting that we hold off on approval for this today unless Commissioner DeYoung feels that way, or we can have a conversation on the fly right here about our specific intent. I don't know that, so we have 33,000 acres of county forest lands, but we have another batch of commercial properties. I'm thinking specifically of a couple parcels out near the airport. Even in the industrial park, we have some property. And if somebody came to us and said, well, we'd like to lease that from you and grow recreational, medical, cannabis, I don't know that I would necessarily object to that. I understand the same principles of federal seizures possible, but there's also, I guess it's a federal attorney general or Department of Justice has written a letter from the previous administration saying they're going to, with well-regulated state regulations, they'll not turn a blind eye, but they'll say it's okay. I think I wouldn't want to preclude the county from going against its own rules to say that somebody couldn't do that. What I'm really interested in is not allowing events where personal consumption is endorsed by the host, whoever's hosting this event. But we've certainly hosted events where we've discussed it, but there was never any intent to endorse personal consumption as part of the meeting. And really where all of this started was marijuana-themed events at our parks. We'd had some events where they were pretty much focused on providing an opportunity for a bunch of people to get together at our Lake Selmac. And it was kind of a marijuana-themed fair. And that was just a little bit more of an endorsement of consumption on the personal level in a group setting on county property. And that's something we just, I couldn't necessarily, if people want to host those kinds of events at their personal residence and have them put it personal liability as a result of that, that's fine. But we just can't necessarily do that on county property. I don't think that's in the best interest of the citizens of Josephine County that we would endorse such a thing. And so the delivery manufacturer, it doesn't say like a production element, but manufacture seems more like the processing element. And even if somebody wanted to put in a processing facility in our industrial park, I'd have to evaluate that one separately. Don't think that's the kinds of applications you're talking about. I just want it crafted in a sense that we're being very specific about what we're looking to try to prohibit. And I'm not trying to say that my personal perspective is that of Commissioner DeYoung's and Commissioner Morgan isn't here. So any thoughts about that, or do you like it just the way it is, or you'd like to talk about it more?
And you bring up a very good point, because there may come a time, as you say, maybe the Illinois Valley property or something would be leased to
the industrial park.
The industrial park and various other things out there. Who knows? Somebody may pull into Kirby and want to redo that whole industrial situation out there. I Councilor and I kind of talked about this a little bit the other day, because I think, what we're doing here is the application to use county property to host events at which. And if we limit this to just events,
okay,
and this is what this is pointed for, is the event. It's not really listed, it's not really pointed towards any part of the business, it's not pointed to part of the manufacturer growing thereof or anything like that. It's events at which persons will use, deliver, or manufacture. And that's at the event. So we're actually, the thing under consideration here is the event. When people apply for an event, or they apply to use a community building,
good
or
point,
any part of the fairgrounds, that's the point that I'm looking at. As long as the event is underlined, and that's what we're pointing out for. I think it's in a future date, if we do have an application to put a business in, then it falls underneath as it goes to a school, residential, setbacks from residential, and so on and so forth. That's where I think that would come into. As long as we are under the full understanding going in that this is doing nothing more than limiting events, because, for instance, the deal, I think you brought mentioned out in Lake Selmac, that was an event. It's just a one-time thing. It's not day in and day out regular business operations. And that's what we're trying to kind of get a lid on, so that we're not participating in that. So I think if we just left it as events, I think I'd be okay with it.
Great, I completely agree, and thank you for the clarification. I think maybe reading this on the fly will review in the other 700 pages. Personal consumption might be so. In the second to the last whereas, it reads: whereas the Board of County Commissioners finds that there is a danger that marijuana-themed events may induce persons attending such events to engage in the possession, use, I would include personal consumption, delivery or manufacture of marijuana while on county property. That was the only thing that I was really looking for.
I think it
might be redundant, but I think it's a further clarification.
I think it broadens the intent.
Yeah.
The intent is that you're not having personal consumption on county property.
Right. The intent, I think it could go without saying, but maybe it's worth saying that ultimately the intent is to protect the tax area, right?
Yeah.
In terms of liability.
Yeah.
And
I think that's covered.
Too much on that point.
Yeah.
I think we're all pretty clear.
So. And there's so many other places and opportunities to provide such events that if that's the case, it's really not supposed to be done in public anyway. Personal consumption for that purpose, personal consumption, not in the public's view. That's against the law. And I really feel like on private property, it wouldn't be public consumption. It's private property, but when you're on public property, how can anything but public consumption be construed? So I don't think that we have even the discretion to endorse it. It's just a further clarification of my interpretation of the law as it is. And that's where I stand. So the personal consumption, I think if we can include that, it's good to go. I think it meets our intent. So thank you very much in presenting that to us here today. And you're absolutely right. That'll provide clarity, I think, to our managers and programs that permit public use of our public facilities. Should be good.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a series of significant grant agreements that are coming before the board in items number 1, D through H. I'll read them all as I'm probably supposed to do in reviewing these for the administrative calendar. However, I think when we get to the point of approval after our airport liaison, airport provides a description of these core agreements, I'd just entertain a motion to approve them as one block. So first is item number 1D, approval of grant agreement number COAR 2017-3S4-0000. 2-14 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and the Josephine County for matching funds towards FAA Grant 3-41-0011-007-2016, airfield lighting and electrical improvements, and apron pavement reconstruction, Phase 1 design at the Illinois Valley Airport. Nothing happens overnight with the FAA. Item number 1E, actually that one probably will happen tonight, ironically. Well, number 1E is approval of grant agreement number CORE-2017-3S4-00015 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for matching funds towards the FAA grant 3-41-0011-008-2017, airfield lighting and electrical improvements, and apron pavement construction, phase 2, construction at Illinois Valley Airport, another good thing for the IV. Item number 1F is approval of grant agreement number CORE-2017-3S8-00016 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for matching funds towards the FAA grant 3-41-0023-010-2016 West Hangar Access Taxi Lane at the Grants Pass Airport. And item number 1G, approval of grant number CORE-2017-3S8-00017 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and the Josephine County for matching funds for the FAA grant 3-41-0023-011-2017 East Side Parallel Taxiway at the Josephine County Airport. And finally, number 1H is approval of grant agreement number CORE-2017-03S8-00028 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for new runway non-precision approach markings, Jet A fuel storage tank, and auto power transfer switches for standby generators at both Josephine County airports, Illinois, and the Grants Pass.
So I think we understand why it takes so long to get anything done with the federal.
That's just the headings for these grants.
And I would second your motion if I could, but in any case...
that wasn't even the motion. I get to read that all again.
Yeah, I know. Larry Graves, manager for Josephine County Airports. The state of Oregon instituted a new jet fuel tax a few years ago for the purpose of gathering money together for the support of small rural and regional airports in the state. So they have called this the ASAP CORE program, Critical Oregon Airports Resources. And the primary purpose of these CORE grants in priority, the number one priority is to supply matching funds to small airport sponsors who have federal grants with a 10 or 20% match requirement. So we currently have several federal grants that are fairly sizable for Josephine County. We have a $2 million grant that's coming in for a parallel taxiway at Grants Pass and a $2.1 million grant that'll be coming in and I'll be bringing to you within the next few weeks for a complete electrical upgrade and runway lighting upgrade at the Illinois Valley Airport. But with those grants comes a requirement for Josephine County to come up with $200,000 or $210,000 in matching funds. So the CORE grant program was instituted this past year to supply matching funds for those larger federal grants. And I was an enthusiastic participant. I submitted 7 CORE grant applications, and we received funding and approval for 5 of them, totaling $535,000. So that is what the result of which I'm bringing to you today to request that you approve these. I could go through each one individually. Essentially, we have grants 7 and 8 at Illinois Valley Airport and grants 10 and 11 at the Grants Pass Airport, each of which require matching funds. And each of these first 4 grants are supplying matching funds toward those grants. The 5th grant is a Priority 2 grant. They go through all the Priority 1 requests and satisfy those if they can.
And Priority 1 is probably related to safety concerns.
Matching funds for federal grants.
Matching funds for federal grants and the FAA, I would assume all of these are prioritized on mitigating safety concerns.
Absolutely.
Because you've got the incursion of cross traffic, non aviation, sometimes related along the Grants Pass Airport.
Yeah.
You know, mid runway crosses is not a good.
Yeah, crossing the runway with
a golf cart or a bike.
Towing, you know, towing an aircraft with a tug or whatever, which is a requirement right now due to our configuration, is not safe. And the FAA made the determination that if we put in the second parallel taxiway on the other side of the runway, as we had been requesting for the past 6 years, that that would be a good mitigation factor and improve safety at the airport. So that is what that grant of 10 or grant 11 is all about.
That was a unique grant coming forward, being spurred on the catalyst through the Regional Solutions Program. I don't think they have never supported a federal aviation type of a project before. Mr. Graves was invited to come over to the Regional Solutions and provide that as the Josephine County's application 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
Three or four, actually.
Was it really? Time
yeah,
flies.
Over in Medford.
Yep.
That meeting, yeah. Yeah, and we would approach the FAA and say, we really need to be able to expand at the airport and develop economically and commercially. And that falls on deaf ears, essentially, at the FAA. But what they do care about is safety. So realizing that, I began banging the safety drum, and that got everybody's attention. But what really put this parallel taxiway, which is incredibly important for the airport's development, on the map was my frustration and not being able to get the FAA to move on it. And so I approached the Governor's Regional Solutions Board, and we eventually worked out a grant through the Infrastructure Finance Authority of the State of Oregon to do the initial engineering design and the environmental determination work. And the FAA, seeing that the state was putting a lot of skin in the game, so to speak, stepped up at that point and placed the construction portion of that project on the map. And so Grant 11 is the result, the federal Grant 11. And so this first program, well, the third one on the list here is matching money for that grant. So, and essentially these first four are all matching funds for these federal grants. And the fifth one is a state grant that will allow us to increase our Jet A fuel capacity at the airport, which is very lacking at the moment and causing us quite a bit of difficulty during the fire season in particular, where we have wildfire fighting helicopters and their crews are seeking sources for Jet A fuel to keep the helicopters in the air. Their own suppliers may not be able to keep up, and when we have an abundance of Jet A at the airport, we can supply that fuel to the benefit of the firefighting helicopters as well as to the airport department, because we make a little bit of money on every gallon we sell. And that's one of our primary sources of revenue. I would urge the commissioners to ask any questions you might have about that and to approve these grants.
I'm going to assume that the amount of people, how many applicants? I mean, you know, you got five out of seven and brought that home to the county. How many applications was there at the state level?
At the state level, I believe there were about 25 applications for priority one matching funds, and about 35 priority two, and about 60 priority three economic development, commercial development requests for funds. The state went through all the priority one funds and made their decisions to grant almost all of those, if not all. And then they still had money left over. So then they went through the priority two applications. We had four in priority one, two in priority two, and then one in priority three. So we got all four of our priority one grants, one of the priority twos, turned down on the other two applications.
Pretty good.
A lot of work, good work.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, when you look at the enormity of these, of what you have to do to an airport and whatnot, everything you do to an airport costs money, and lots of it.
Oh.
So, therefore, the matching side of it gets, you know, just the match is a sizable sum of money.
It is. And, you know, for us, the match has to come out of our operating budget,
yes.
You know, as opposed to a capital budget. We don't really have a capital budget. We just don't have enough money to have these large sums available to repave the runway or upgrade.
So you're saying your program doesn't receive general fund dollars at all?
We do not. We're an enterprise fund, and we receive no money from the general fund or from the county. And in rare circumstances, we may borrow money from the property reserve, but we pay that back with interest. So in any case, it's a challenge to run an airport or two airports with that kind of a structure financially. I've been fortunate to have been allowed to hire a couple of people over the last few years that has made all of this possible, actually.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
It's a big job. Can't do it alone.
Yep. The progress that's been made over the last six years since you've been hired. I think you were hired about 6 months after I started, or right
yep.
thereafter.
July.
Yep. So things have kind of floundered out there for a little while. And I mean, even though this is a big block that's come to fruition right now, there's been things that have happened. And this is frankly not the end. There's a huge number of other things that are in the queue that he's working on. And there's nothing's easy. So the fence project that Mr. Graves kind of inherited as something that was in the queue, but he would never have happened without his leadership on that issue. A lot of people have probably built fence in their lifetimes. Nobody's probably in this room or in the Josephine County built a fence on an airport, FAA related. Those are not easy to do. Not because the posts are any harder to pound, although out there in O'Brien, that area, you can't hardly pound a post, but the cultural, the reviews that had to be done on that, there was like 7, I want to say, maybe 11, I don't know. There's more things to review than I can even think of, and he got it done. And I think he learned a lot from that first project that he's able to depreciate, hopefully, on all these other ones. So without further ado, I just want to commend you and your team for getting these things done, finding creative solutions to challenging problems, and moving it forward. I think the safety elements, putting Josephine County's airports on the map in a real substantial way, making them user-friendly and safe, is going to be a big deal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nothing further. We'll move into item number 2, which is requesting comments from citizens. Just provide us your name, general locale of address, and residency. And Ms. Cassinelli, you can go first. Good morning.
Submit this to the record. My printer's kind of crazy, so I'll email you a clean copy if you can't submit it.
Yeah.
Sandy Castanello, Northern Oregon. Today, going to discuss item 1C, or did discuss, but we'll vote on it. This will approve an order restricting the hosting of marijuana-themed events on county property. Citing liability issues because of current federal law, it states that applications to use county property to host events at which persons will use, deliver, or manufacture marijuana shall be denied. And the statement that such possession, use, delivery, or manufacture will not be permitted. But this is extremely duplicitous coming from this board, who on April 18th of this year approved an order for a lease agreement with Wayne Zallen of Grow Condos, Inc., allowing such marijuana possession, use, and delivery to occur on county property on Lake Salmac. It gave them the existing portable building and boat dock to use. It was a 6-year lease. And their smoke on the water program did not hide the fact that county resources would be involved with marijuana activities. And Commissioner DeYoung was recently involved with a meeting in a county building which involved the discussion of marijuana, but the county then denied Mark Seligman the ability to do the same. And who could forget that Commissioner Hare was found guilty by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission for using his elected position to clearly all of this is blatant hypocrisy. It seems that in Josephine County, the commissioners and their cronies can benefit dearly from the marijuana industry, but they emphatically restrict and hamper the general public from benefiting as well. As such, Order 2007-36 should not be passed today. You know, you can spout off everything you want about you know, what you're going to do and how beneficial everything is, but it's really what you do. Your actions speak louder than words. And your actions, by restricting the use of public property for the public, while you emphatically endorse the use of county property for organizations that you gave leases to, this is really wrong, and I emphatically oppose it. Any comments or questions? Thank you.
Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. I'm going to take a slightly different tack there. I think B and C have a lot to do with each other. We spent 5 years working out an integrated fire plan. But could you imagine a cannabis event, especially right now, we have the fuel loads we have, the dry seasons being in Griffith Park or Whitehorse or Indian Mary. We all know how that a lot of the people consume the marijuana is with cigarettes and fire. Could you imagine a fire starting in a county park because the county allowed a cannabis event to occur? I think there are some that should go. You know, if you're doing just information, that's fine. But if you're encouraging the use of a cannabis product on a county facility, I think that is entirely wrong and we shouldn't allow it. And going past there, I know the state now has put forward some new plans and new laws about the cannabis industry. The unfortunate part is, and I think that you guys as commissioners are correct, you need to keep going forward with local ordinances because, quite frankly, the state seems to look at Southern Oregon as the ugly stepchild. We don't get a lot of attention. It all goes up north where the cannabis is consumed. We don't get the money that we need to enforce the laws. I believe we need to put you as the county commission and us as private citizens on our state representative. I know Carl Wilson and Herman Marshall are really good folks. I think we tell them our problems, and they probably understand them already. The states put all these rules in, but we have no way to enforce them. And I think it falls on the state, whether it be through the water department, more people down here to enforce the regulations they're imposing, whether it be the OSP. Especially Josephine and Jackson, I don't think we can handle the problems that have been created by the exponential growth of this cannabis industry. I think there's a lot of folks out there that are doing everything they should, doing as correctly as they can, but there is that group that quite frankly aren't. There are water issues. We get calls to the soil and water quite frequently about wells and who's using them, what they're using them for, and I believe that regulation and enforcement is going to have to eventually come from the state. We're going to need the state to step forward. And, since 91 came into effect, quite frankly, they have ignored all of the side of the industry that needs to regulate. And it's a state law. The state should do it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Jones.
Before I address 2017-036, I want to point out that there is a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of thought that's appropriately gone into these other matters. They need to be moved forward for the benefit of public health and safety, especially as highlighted in the airport issue. And also, being a resident of a rural area on private property myself, backed up to one of the federally regulated lands, I appreciate the patchwork and the difficulty in implementing the fire restrictions that are necessary to preserve our beautiful county for the future. good enough job of regulating forest production over the last half century or so, but we now have more than we started with, beginning with the ONC lands. Those are all very important things for the county, and I appreciate the time and thought that goes into that. How that affects my opinion of 2017-036, I think this is hasty. I think it's poorly constructed. It is redundant. It may be duplicitous. It certainly duplicates existing rules that we already have. I think this is quite frankly unnecessary. County already prohibits activities on county property, which are not legal at the state level. That enough means that 2017-036 doesn't even have a reason to exist. Cannabis consumption in public is already prevented by state law. Cannabis consumption indoors, like tobacco use, is also prohibited under the Indoor Clean Air Act. I'd like to point out that a person may bring a pack of cigarettes, for example, into a building, but may not consume one there. You're not prohibiting the possession of tobacco or a vape pen, a tobacco product. You're prohibiting its use in a specific area. The state already does that. You don't need another rule to duplicate every single rule the state has made. When it comes to a vape pen, I don't have one in my pocket, but what if I had one in my pocket while I was talking about cannabis? Possession is not the same thing as use. Distribution is also reserved at the state level for legal sales points. Currently, the OLCC stores and the remaining 28 medical dispensaries, that number is dwindling daily. The county is not endorsing consumption or sale. When the Illinois Valley Soil and Water Conservation District and Cape Junction Farmers Market representative came to you and asked to use the Cape Junction building, we were denied freedom of speech and assembly. I was going to be speaking about cannabis at that event. They were denied a permit. Mr. Seligman, more recently, for the same reasons, for the fact that I was going to be speaking to a group of professionals and people that are interested in resource management about this topic. 2017-036 addresses those concerns that were clearly outside the county's regulatory purview in your original discussions, but it leaves us with currently what still looks like it is a restriction for a specific group of people. Like, just 1 second, you did just take $6,000 from a grower in Jackson County to sponsor a horse race. That's paradox.
Thank you, Mr. Gendron. In the back. So I don't forget the point. We don't do horse racing in Jester County. That's the Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association does that. We just provide the facility in an annual lease agreement. Sorry.
Brenda Thomas. I have a business in Grand Pass and I live in Wilderville. I just wanted to reiterate a couple points that Pete had made about the possession. I am a medical patient, and right now medical is trying to get into Brad Rapp being blamed for a lot of the problems of out-of-state market stuff. I don't personally agree with that. There's rec farms with thousands of plants going to be there. There's going to be way more plants at those addresses than there will be in medical farms. But beyond that, the possession use, and I believe the possession part is not very fair. As a cannabis using medical patient and a cancer survivor, I take 4 pills of RSO every day. I take no prescription pain pills at all. I have to keep those with me wherever I'm going because I have to take them at certain points of the day. That is possession. I would never carry them in my pocket or around me at an event, but they will be in my vehicle. They will be in my possession. So maybe you may want to rethink the wording just a little on how to fit that in. I've been going to music festivals in this area for years. Starting back in like 2007, we were doing Music Fest in Provo. I'm a vendor at those events because I do have the cannabis business, as I do help patients get medical marijuana cards. I do not dispense in any way, shape, or form, but I do have a business in the county that benefits from patients. So I do vend at a lot of these events just to get the word out there that I'm available for cards in the area. I have possession at that time because I'm camping on site, so I can use my medicine when I need to. So that's just my main concern. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll, yep. Gentleman in the back. Don't be shy, because.
I'll try not to. There's so many people.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Commissioner, for taking. public testimony. Thank you, private citizens, for being here.
Your name and address, please.
My name is Aaron Getty. I live in the rural county, 5288 Fish Hatchery. Business owner, taxpayer, citizen, college educated, and been born and raised in this community. I have very much ties to the success to this local industry or the local communities. And I'm involved in the cannabis industry, and I feel there's a lot of opportunities to help the economies locally. There's been a big shift from the medical growers, which are smaller, craft cannabis style, to the commercial grows. And it's quite a big shift that all of us are feeling and seeing. State government and federal government move slower than local governments. So there's a lot of opportunity, but a lot of risks moving forward with legislation. Just simply based on speed, we have to be careful and calculated, but we don't want to be redundant in doing things that the state will be doing as well. So what a gentleman said earlier, that they haven't seen any tax revenue come through. There has been over $80 million collected from tax revenues, of which half of it goes to Oregon State Police to enforce laws, all laws regarding cannabis, not just OLCC laws. So we're going to be seeing the allocation of those funds soon. And that in itself will have quite an impact on our community. So being responsible and respectful and understanding how that can affect us is doing our due diligence is really what's most important. We have a lot of resources, local industry participants that are very educated and progressive and active and activists that I think that the commission has given credit to their knowledge in forming a rules advisory commission, which I really respect and honor, and will be a part of that as much as I can. So I think continuing that communication and due diligence to not move too hasty. As far as this consumption at events, I think events and tourism is one of our largest industries locally, and it's one of the biggest opportunities moving forward. There is no reason to ban cannabis if we're not banning tobacco. So I think ultimately right there you're heading yourself into a corner. And the last thing you want to open yourself up to is any type of litigation, I guess you could say, would be one term, but any type of prejudice that might be warranting of one but not another. So that's, once again, due diligence. I personally hold events that are cannabis-focused, but they're not cannabis-using events. They're more about cannabis commerce, business industry association meetings, a lot like the Chamber of Commerce. It's a place where businesses in the cannabis industry can come together and co-create. So I just want to thank you for your time. My name is Aaron Getty. I'm always a resource if anyone wants to talk to me about anything.
Anyone else? Back to the board for comments, Commissioner Young.
Well, I certainly, you make a good point about possession in the back of the room there, that you have medicine pills in your purse or whatever it is you've got to take. I think, like I said, I think the intent of this is that we don't have an all-out smoke out on county property. I think that's the intent. We can split hairs and cross hairs all you want. I don't think anybody's going to come in to one of your, while you're at an event, and if you're not on county property, it doesn't matter. You can have an event anywhere you want. This just addresses county property. So if you're going to have, if you want to do this on your own property, you certainly can, and you can probably do whatever you want to do there. But for when it comes to county property, we have a certain amount of things that we need to kind of go for that. That's one of the things that we said, that the event, if you have an event, and going back to what Ms. Castanelli said, just a meeting. I don't have a problem with you having a meeting in a county building to discuss such things, but it just states here that, it's very clear, you must sign a statement, must include a statement that such possession, use, delivery, or manufacture will not be permitted. Now, I know the same thing with, you're talking about a pack of cigarettes in your pocket. Very kind of an analogy, but not. As long as you don't take those cigarettes out, I don't care if you have them or not. But so I'm not really interested in changing this 036. It may be redundant, Peter, like you said, that probably is redundant. But it also clarifies on there that you can have you can have an event as long as you don't do, you person will not use, deliver, manufacture marijuana, be denied, those will be denied. And so therefore, I think it clarifies what the county's intent is, regardless of what the state says and the fed state. Because if we want to just go up back up the line, we could go back to federal law and say, it's not allowed in America. But, you know, we're down to now at the county level, and that's where our jurisdiction ends, is at the county line. So I have nothing against 2017 and 036 as it is written. The possession thing, I think that's kind of splitting hairs. You know, if you've got your medicine in your overnight bag, I'm not going to tell you to take your prescription opioids out of your bag or anything of that sort, too. So, you know, I think that's, I don't know, we need to pull possession out or not.
I'm not sure either. To address every specific point that Ms. Casanelli raised, and she raised quite a few, some were not relevant from a standpoint that the county has been hosting marijuana cannabis-focused events since Measure 91 passed. In fact, we were the first one in the state. I think former Commissioner Walker was a participant in a panel we put together here 2 weeks after Measure 91 passed in 2014. So it's one of those things where we just need to be, we're clarifying. Order number 2017-036. It applies to the public from a standpoint that it's direction with internal programs. It's not a law, so it's a proclamation, a resolution, an order, and then an ordinance. An ordinance applies to everybody in Josephine County, including the Board of Commissioners. An order is direction to all of our managers, staff, and a policy directive inside the county walls of how we're going to operate. Josephine County. We've got lots of those, and we don't require two readings. It's not referable to the voters. It's just an internal policy that we could refine tomorrow if we find that the possession element is getting construed and being intended in a different way. I'm not expecting people to put their stuff in their car or not bring it. I don't think, and that was a version crafted by legal counsel, with all due respect. Those two previous denials that you had referenced, those were given direction or interpreted direction by legal counsel. I think we're looking to refine every request that people bring to the county and a policy that should work so people can interpret it. And for clarifying that lease agreement, I'm the liaison to the Parks Department. Legal crafted language in that lease agreement to prohibit or reinforce the already public prohibition from public use. And so unfortunately, Ms. Casanelli can kind of construe things in ways she feels are dots tied together, but they're really not. We are consistent, we have been, and we will try to continue to be, and that's what this order is trying to do, is provide consistency for all of our programs, all of our managers and staff to understand that that's the direction and intent of the Board of Commissioners. I do see the possession one, but I think, like Commissioner DeYoung's pointed out, it might be splitting hairs to say that that we should change that. The legal elements that Mr. Getty referenced. So cigarettes are federally regulated, but they're not a Schedule I. There's differences, and the legalities of it are very specific in their differences. What I'm not encouraging and discouraging by this order is that there's the barter fair. And it's really, it's I know what the inception of that was. I grew up in that area. The intent of that was to try to figure out a local commerce element for something that wasn't legal and an opportunity for people to trade and barter at a very profitable season, point in the season. I can't endorse a big alcohol event to take place unregulated. We do have them at the fairgrounds occasionally. I don't believe we've ever had those at any of our parks, but it's really challenging to try to thread this needle. And I do appreciate that Mr. Gendron made the point of we need to be deliberate, non-duplicative, and that's one of the reasons we put together this Cannabis Advisory Committee. And maybe one of the first things they look at are the holes, the flaws in Order 2017-036. But in the meantime, we're going to pass this order, and we can change it tomorrow. We won't have a quorum of the board tomorrow, but we can change it next week, you know, if we need to. And so I think that's really what we're looking to try to do. I do want to clarify that OSP receiving half, $40 million statistic. I'm not aware of that. That's probably not, it's not the information that I'm receiving. I'm not trying to say that it's not accurate, but I know OSP is fighting for every dollar that they can, and we're proposed in the governor's budget to have a 10% reduction like all other programs to try to meet the $1.8 billion shortfall that they have incurred. They are not any more flush with funds than they started the season out with the legislative cycle. And to date, the county has received zero as far as revenues from the state. We've received $12,000 for the first quarter of our 3% retail implemented tax that the voters approved in November of last year. And that is the only money other than permit fees and other associated, but discretionary revenues from local cannabis production is $12,000. There's no real back and forth, but we can chat afterwards if you want, Aaron. And that's real specific to what, you know, OLCC is going to start allocating the shared receipt element of revenues from marijuana when they get done paying off their program. Their OHA program is moving into the OLCC program. They are probably never going to pay for everything that they need to be doing because they're not even close to doing everything they should be doing. And so my perspective, it's the company store. They write the rules, they make the laws, and they'll allocate funds to Josephine County when they get good and ready, which could be never. I really appreciate the public comment that we got here today. That's the whole purpose to me, to take public comment, that people are constructively coming to these meetings. And you don't have to just come to these meetings. You can provide public comment via email, phone calls. I even get text messages during this meeting from people who are weighing in on different things, who are kind of refining these proposals that we have. The diplomatic fashion, this continued conversation that we're going to have on this issue is really instilling confidence in me that we're eventually going to get this right. We may stumble and veer from time to time, but I think that's it's getting things done, and we will move forward. And I'm really excited about this Cannabis Advisory Committee that former Commissioner Walker proposed to institute about a year ago. We do move really slow. I think the Fed moves slow and the state moves slow. We don't have a tendency to move real fast. We deal with every issue that every one of those bodies deals with, but on a local level. And that could be one of the reasons we're as slow as we are. Not to belabor the subject, but to move on if there's anything further.
Yeah, just going to the amount of money that goes to the state, that's okay. You know, the state right now collects all the money on the cannabis industry, and I know that, and I don't know the exact amount, but it's sizable. But the problem is that the phone doesn't ring at the state. It rings over next door. And we want to respond to our citizens locally within our jurisdiction and can't. We're unable to because of we don't have an adequate, a fully funded sheriff's department to be able to answer all the nuisance calls and trouble calls and things of that sort. And you call the state and you're on hold, and it's just like you might as well call the piece of sagebrush over in Lakeview because they're just not hearing us down here. And I realize, you know, from your side, you go, man, you guys just don't know how much money is taken from us, you know, retrieved by the state. But from our standpoint, we would love to respond to anything to protect your rights to grow and to protect your crop once it's there, but we can't because we don't have the adequate resources to do that. So when somebody steps up to the microphone and says, well, we pay the taxes and we're carrying the freight for Josephine County, I have to adamantly disagree. The timber industry does that. The cannabis industry has not done that today. Yes, it's good for the economy because certain home companies, you know, and lumber yards and stuff, you bet their revenues are up. But that's on a personal basis. They pay income tax on that. That also goes to the state. Very little of that comes back here. So I, you know, I hear it when you say that all the money you have to spend in, because you certainly do. But does it come back here? No, it doesn't. Not today, to that center. We're working on that.
Yeah.
Not today. We're not going to work on it. We're not going to roll over here. We've turned the corner at Josephine County. We're marching forward. And sometimes it may not, everybody not agree as to how that's happening, but we're in the game now.
Item number 1A is approval of intergovernmental agreement between Jackson County and Josephine County for housing adult prisoners in the Josephine County Jail.
I make a motion that item 1A to be approved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? I want to thank you and the sheriff for leaning into that issue and getting it done. It's something that's been actually on our radar since Jackson County's capacity has been there for quite some time. So this is a good step forward. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes, motion carries 2-0. Item number 1B is approval of resolution number 2017-039 in the matter of adopting the Rogue Valley Integrated Community Wildfire Protection Plan dated June 2017.
I make a motion item 1B be approved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No.
I want to thank Ms. Jenny Hall, who used to be our emergency services manager, and Sarah Rubrick from Jackson County. They have been dealing with this issue for as long as I have and actually were part of instituting the prior plan. So I can't say enough about how important this is to our community and how much they have done for it to get to this point. So please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0. Item number 1C is approval of order number 2017-036 in the matter of hosting marijuana-themed events on county property.
Make a motion that item 1C be approved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No.
Just want to reiterate that if we do need to change this, we can change it very, very soon, so no big deal. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0. Item number 1D is approval of grant agreement number 4-2017-3S4-00014 between Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for matching funds towards FAA grant 3-41-0011-007-2016 airfield lighting and electrical improvements and apron pavements reconstruction phase one design at the Illinois Valley Airport. Item number 1E is approval of grant agreement number 4-2017-3S4-00015 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for matching funds toward FAA grant 3-41-0011-008-2017 airfield lighting and electrical improvements and apron pavement reconstruction phase two construction at the IV Airport. Item number 1F is approval of grant agreement number 4-2017-3S8-00016 between the Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for matching funds toward FAA grant 3-41-0023-010-2016 West Hangar Access Taxi Lane at the Grants Pass Airport. Item 1G is approval of grant number 4-2017-3S8-00017 between Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for matching funds towards FAA grant 3-41-00323-011-2017 East Side Parallel Taxiway at the Grants Pass Airport. And finally, number 1H, which is approval of grant agreement number 4-2017-3S8-00028 between Oregon Department of Aviation and Josephine County for new runway, non-precision approach markings, Jet A fuel storage tank, and auto power transfer switches for standby generators at both Josephine County airports. Entertain a motion for approval of items number 1A, D, E, F, G, and H.
I make a motion that items 1D through H be approved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Thank you, Mr. Graves. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0. Item number 3 is approval of the consent calendar made up of various items. The first are minutes of the Boards of Commissioners, item 3A. Item number 3B is intergovernmental agreement 250-1718 Josephine-000 with Oregon State Marine Board for boating law enforcement. Something seems like there's another word that needs to be there. Commissioner DeYoung.
Yeah, this is an intergovernmental agreement for large funding for the Sheriff's Department to conduct boating safety and boating law enforcement services in Josephine County. This agreement is dated 7/1/17 through 6/30/18, and revenue to the county in along that for that grant is $152,443 that will be earmarked for that training.
Great. Item number 1C is intergovernmental agreement 13775 with Oregon Youth Authority for Juvenile Crime Prevention Basic Diversion Services These are a program that's administered by our juvenile justice and detention program under Mr. Goodwin, who's unable to be here today to present this. However, this is an existing agreement that's being continued with OIA. We have a facility located over behind Fred Meyer in that general location next to the jail, and that's a continuity of that program. It's going to be pretty good to have the ability to steer youth in the right direction. It's about a $347,000 contract, if I remember. Anything else on that one?
Nope.
We'll move on to item number 3D, communication site license agreement with the State of Oregon Department of Forestry for county use of Little Grayback Mountain Radio Communication Facility. This is a agreement that we've put in place to facilitate ham radio antenna to provide backup in the case of an emergency. And that's what this agreement is providing for. Anything else?
Okay.
Item 3E is primary health participating provider agreement between Oregon Health Management Services Incorporated and Health Department for provision of health care services. We have Cheryl Walker, our public health director, interim. If you wouldn't mind coming forward and going over the high points on this one, we'd sure appreciate it. I understand that this has kind of been something we've been working towards for a while. However, it didn't get finished before Ms. Hoover, our prior director, had resigned. And I really appreciate former Commissioner Walker, now Cheryl Walker. It's really hard to get rid of the word commissioner before. It's almost like their first name for a number of years, 4 years. And she's agreed to come back and be our interim public health director, and is here to present.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for putting this on the agenda today. This is the item 3E is the primary health participating provider agreement to Josephine County. It's a 1-year agreement. It is providing reimbursement funds to the county for individuals that are serviced through the county for public health clinical type services. The county relies very heavily on these kinds of grant programs from the state. Also, these reimbursements come from funding for the Affordable Care Act, typically through these providers. So, critical funding source for us. Would you like me to move on to the next?
Would you mind? So, I'll addressing number 3F, which is intergovernmental agreement number 154116 for 2017 through 19 with Oregon Health Authority for financing of public health services.
As you stated, this is a 2-year. This is for the biennium. This is, again, very important funding to the public health department. It is the primary funding that we receive from the state. It's $1,016,265, and this is used for the county providing, again, services to the public who may or may not have insurance, but they need services through our department.
Okay. Great. Any questions?
No, that was
thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for stepping up, Carol.
Really appreciate it. I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar made up of various items, which include 3A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Make a motion that the consent calendar items 3A through F be approved.
I'll second that.
No.
Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0. Any other items that should properly come before the board at this time? Any matters from commissioners?
Yeah, we held interviews for the Peggy Anderson, the fairground manager, and myself conducted interviews for the vacancy we're having coming up on the fair board, and we're going over those right now, those two interviews.
Great.
We had two interviews out of six requests to fill one position, so that'll be filled. Want to do that just as soon as possible. Probably have something for the rest of the board on Tuesday.
Great. Anything else?
About it.
Don't you have some big event this weekend?
Yeah. We have a big car event this weekend, so I have to shift gears from politics to firing orders again. And I have a lot of personal friends that are coming back to Grants Pass. A gentleman that I sold a car to over in Bend years ago is bringing that car back. This afternoon I get to do some work on it if I can. After I get done meeting with Carl Wilson and this afternoon, Representative Wilson, and I'm going to try to squeeze that in maybe this evening. I might miss the first couple of stops of the diner tour that starts this evening.
Oh, neat.
And I understand Tuesday the Conscience Park was well attended. And then last night they had a sock hop out at the Fruitdale Grange. And then Saturday's the big show. and you'll hear my voice down there because I emcee that. So, you know, we've got a big weekend coming up. You know, a lot of people in town, and plus we're getting a lot of overflow from the Country Crossings event over in Medford. So there is not a room at the inn.
No.
Anywhere in Jackson-Josephine County. Huge, and this is a huge, the whole thing is a huge thing collectively for our region, and I think that's how we kind of want to view tourism from here on out, is a regional thing rather than just Grants Pass, just Josephine County, just Medford, just Crater Lake. It needs to be a regional thing. We're all in this thing together. So I like it that everybody's starting to work together a little bit more than they used to in the past. That's, we're all going to benefit from that.
Great. Great. The last couple of days I've been up in Portland at the Pacific Northwest Economic Region Summit, and I've never attended this before and probably wouldn't have. However, right after the legislative session that we've just had, the long session, it's really the first opportunity for a comprehensive review of that session. There's significant pieces of legislation that have happened, like the transportation bill, and frankly, a number of weeks before the end of the session, I was not very optimistic, nor were a lot of people, that there was actually going to be a transportation bill given the dysfunction that we had, and universally accepted both on in both houses by Camberley and by the governor. This session didn't go real well for legislators. It was really challenging, and speaking to Senator Betsy Johnson briefly about the issue, she's glad to have this session behind her, and I'm sure other legislators feel that way. So the transportation package was reviewed. A number of other things that were talked about were the relationship between Canada and the United States as far as trade is concerned. The biggest one impacting our region, there's two actually, the leading agricultural commodity in the state of Oregon, which was a surprise to me because I always felt, and I've heard that it was nursery when I was going to college and have an ag business degree. That's what I was told. But it's actually the cow-calf pair industry is the leading agricultural industry in the state of Oregon. They trade between those two. We have a tremendous business portfolio of Oregon's agriculture is cow-calf pairs. And they actually do a lot of regional migration over time, where depending on where the feed is. One of our world's largest trading partners is Canada, and we're having a real problem with the trade impacts of border security on that issue. Also, hoof and mouth disease, or foot and mouth disease, I learned is the world's largest health concern, actually. So as vaccines are utilized throughout the world, that's the number one vaccine worldwide. And it would bring the world to its knees. It's also one of the most contagious viruses in the world. It's not a good thing, and it could be at our doorstep tomorrow. And what are all the things that we should be doing either locally through our public health department to make sure that that's done for animal control and health? It's something we kind of take for granted. It's just going to happen around the rest of the world and never going to come here. That's not necessarily true. And so there was a whole host of different issues that were talked about at this summit that if you're not at that meeting, you're not exposed to, and it's sometimes hard to tie a specific situation to a specific deliverable here. Cumulatively, I think it's good for the board to rotate through those things, come back with short presentations on what they learned that are salient points, but I think being at those events, the relationships that you cultivate, the information that you bring back, you're really not going to be able to get anywhere else. So this one had positives. There's also some downtime, which actually affords you the opportunity to keep doing your job here. A lot of people don't understand what an actual commissioner, or at least one in Josephine County, does. We don't have anybody in our portfolio of management who's an acting administrator. We used to. When I first came on board, we had a couple of people, but Rosemary Padgett was our CFO, and she acted as our administrator, and that was a big help to kind of keep the things moving when people were out of town. And I just want to say thank you to Commissioner DeYoung, who has been the commissioner here at the helm for the last 3 days. When things happen or a call comes into the office, even if it is outside the scope of his liaison responsibility, because he is the commissioner at the helm and in the office, he takes those calls. And so I just really appreciate that. And I know what that feels like. Been there, done that for several years here. And it's just important, I think, that commissioners understand that there is a burden shift when you're not in the office, And being here is really, and doing your job is what the citizens have elected you to do, and that's probably, should be and has been for me, my number one priority. And I know you feel that way too. Anything else for the good of the order?
No, I think that's good. I'm just ready to have a safe weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
It's my tendency that when huge events come here, the traffic, I just, as I drive throughout the city, and I don't know if it's probably me too, because I want to get someplace a little faster, and when the traffic slows down, I get frustrated. But don't succumb to road rage. It might not be to your good advantage.
Construction is a big thing that happens this time of year, as they're able to pave.
Huge amount of construction in the valley.
I can't say enough about how much is actually being approved here today. These core grants are monumental.
Yes.
This community wildfire protection plan, you know, it may not be all that sexy for the general public, but it is probably one of the most substantial things that we've done as a county in a while. We do a lot of huge things from time to time, but this one I hope will live on for over a decade. Like I said, it's the only one in the nation that is a regional plan. It's provided for under the Healthy Forest Restoration Act, which is a riveting piece of legislation everybody should take advantage of and read. I enjoy that kind of stuff. There's a number of things, from the public health funding that we do here locally, and the Marine Board contract with the state. Ernie Fields is state-renowned, if not nationally renowned, as being one of the best in the region, and he's right here in Josephine County. He's been doing this for a decade. We just celebrated his tenure here, and I can't remember how many years it was, but it was been since I was high school. I think he's been working for the sheriff's office, and through all the ups and downs, he's still here, and he's providing world-class service to the recreators on our rivers and lakes. So take the opportunity to thank him. Got through a lot of stuff in just an hour and 17 minutes. And appreciate everybody for attending. Thank you so much. And with nothing else, we're adjourned at 10:17.